We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What I love about working in news, working in sports, working in live radio is you can have a plan. You can have a plan that you've been working on all week long. You can have a list of things you expect will be the topics of your show, and then a little news happens, and what do you know? It's a whole different direction, and it seems like some positive news if you are an A's fan waiting for a little progress on a stadium. And, of course, we're going to draw a line between that and saving the Oakland Raiders, possibly. Welcome to the Damon Bruce Show. It's great to have you here. We got a big, full four-hour show today with the best guest list that you can shake a stick at. I really mean it. We're going to be talking with David Carr, former number one overall pick and, of course, brother of Khalil Mack of the Oakland Raiders. David Carr is going to be joining us to talk about a whole bunch of stuff. He's coming up at 3:30. Steve Kerr and Draymond Green, no more Warriors talk could be fit into an hour than in the hour you get to talk to Steve Kerr and Draymond Green. That's going to be our 4 o'clock hour this afternoon. Eli Harold of the 49ers is going to stop on by. Scott Baer all over the Raiders heading to Mexico. And by the way, the NFL has warned both the Raiders and the Houston Texans, don't leave your hotel in Mexico at all. Don't.
Wow.
Raiders have been warned not to leave the hotel during the trip. All I can tell you is that we don't get these announcements when a team goes to London. Whatever you do, guys, don't go to Piccadilly Circus. We don't think anyone comes back. What the hell? That's a little concerning, and certainly goes a long, long way forever to us saying that the NFL will, if it should expand internationally, will ever expand to Mexico City.
Doesn't really give a lot of confidence towards that direction.
No, it makes you think you maybe picked the wrong place to put an NFL game if it's that serious.
Is it more for their safety or more for them not getting into trouble?
That's a great question. I'm glad you asked. We will follow up a little bit later. I think a little bit of both. It's a little bit of both.
Okay.
We got the Warriors last night who just ruined Drake's evening. I'm very happy about that. I think you're happy about that. Drake, nowhere to be found. Warriors just crushing him. It's pretty funny, actually. But we got to start with what the big breaking news is today. And the big breaking news today is not that Klay Thompson had a beer after the game and it was caught on video. Calm down, everybody. It's a locker room. You're allowed to have beer in the locker room. Didn't we just have an election where the whole phrase locker room talk pretty much became the crutch that every vile thing said leans on? They serve beers where vile conversation happens, believe me. By the way, this is Klay's just the coolest dude in the NBA.
He really is.
He really is. Klay's a cool dude in the NBA. He doesn't give a damn what anybody thinks. He's just Klay Thompson. He's perfectly wired for this team. He really is. And last night was another example of why athletes have an issue with all the coverage that is now allowed inside the locker room. But never mind about all that. Let's get to the big story that we saw Susan Slusser dive into today. That is her reporting that the A's have very much restructured their management. Lou Wolf is stepping down as the team's managing general partner, and he'll sell his stake back to ownership, including majority partner John Fisher, who now becomes the managing general partner. Team president Michael Crowley is also leaving for a senior advisor role, and Dave Cavill.
Perfect.
Thank you. Practice that one before we started today. Dave Cavill is the new team president. He's currently the president of the San Jose Earthquakes, and he is the guy that got their stadium built. Lou Wolf served as a managing partner for 11 years. He's going to become the A's chairman emeritus. And as the Chronicle reported, one of the owners might sell their stake if indeed the A's were going to get cut off that revenue-sharing money with the new CBA. Maybe someone sells, and indeed Lou Wolf is that guy. So, oh my God, do I really have to slow down and explain? Some people are like, David Carr is not Khalil Mack's brother, Damon. Yeah, good job. Thank you very much. Some of these are jokes. God almighty. What does this mean? What does this mean? That's the big question whenever there's any news about the A's. What does it mean? Does it get you closer to a stadium? Well, it certainly feels like it a little bit today. Now, we've all signed up for this feeling before, and what good has it done? Very little. Very, very little good. But I do think that this is a good day. I do think if you're an A's fan, this is great news. How do we make good news, great news, and turn it into awesome news for everybody? Well, here's what I hope happens next. The best hope is that the A's indeed announce shortly that they are going to build a stadium in Oakland in another footprint that is not the Coliseum. And then you turn around to either Mark Davis or the NFL, and you say, Coliseum's yours. If the A's can get the heck out of the way, it opens up a world of possibility and options for the NFL to save that site and keep the Raiders in Oakland. You can raise the Coliseum. You can raise Oracle Arena when the Warriors make their move. This is interesting. This is officially interesting. The Raiders open a new stadium in the Coliseum footprint. Isn't that what Mark Davis has always wanted? Think of all the parking you have around you for all the tailgating you would ever want to be able to do. But what's really different? John Fisher has been in charge the entire time here. John Fisher's been in charge the entire time. He is the money guy. It's been his button to push, bing, 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 like push that button to make things go. It's him. It was never Lou Wolf who was going to do that. But maybe, maybe just maybe, Lou Wolf was such a real estate guy that he was so busy waiting for the perfect real estate deal that he let a few good ones kind of slip through the cracks. Now it's time that the A's go get a good stadium. Perfect? I don't know if we got time for perfect. Because if this A's stadium situation actually attaches itself to a location that is not the Coliseum, and it does so in the next handful of weeks before the NFL owners meet to vote on Las Vegas, the chances of the Raiders staying increase. The chances of the NFL owners voting Mark Davis down when it comes to going to Las Vegas, I think, is very much dependent of having a solution right here in Oakland. And if Mark Davis can't come up with one, maybe the city still can. And, you know, I'm thinking about a timeline. Thinking about this as a timeline. The A's and Warriors, you got till 2020 to move into your new digs. Is that enough time? Should be. You have until 2020 to move into your new digs. Raider fans, just bite your bottom lip, ride out the Coliseum for another 5 to 8 years. I'm not even kidding. That's what it's going to take. How about the Raiders opening a new stadium in the Coliseum footprint sometime around the year 2024? Wouldn't that be nice?
That'd be sweet.
Wouldn't that be incredible? Wouldn't that solve an awful lot of problems without anybody having to get on a Southwest flight? Wouldn't that make an awful lot of sense? Wouldn't that give Mark Davis all the time that he needs to put together whatever it takes to fund a stadium, a privately built stadium? What about all the infrastructure? It's existing. All the roadways to the Coliseum already exist. The BART platform to the Coliseum already exists. The only thing you'd need would be private financing to come in, raise the Coliseum, rebuild in the Coliseum's footprint, And then eventually you can raise Oracle Arena when the Warriors are gone. That can become a new practice facility, your team headquarters. This could be your retail space. Like, however you want to play it, you'll have the entire Coliseum property to do with it what you wish. Or here's the bad news. The A's do decide they're going somewhere else. The Warriors decide they're coming back to San Francisco. The Raiders do end up in Las Vegas. Then what the hell's the Coliseum? But a ghost town. Acre after acre after acre of ghost town. Completely defunct, rotting facilities. Unoccupied, unused, unloved. Don't want to see that. So, let's hear a little from Dave Cavill, who joined Matt Steinmetz and Chris Townsend today, little afternoon delight. He came on very, very excited about what this means for the A's, for him and A's fans.
Super excited about the opportunity, especially to build a new stadium in Oakland. It's just an amazing opportunity for an amazing fan base. Couldn't be more positive.
The next question was about reaching out to the community for some ideas when it comes to the new stadium.
As important, it's reaching out to the community and Oakland and our fan base and understanding what our fans want and what are the different things that we need to incorporate in the stadium and its location to be successful. And I want to be a conduit for people to express those views to make sure that they feel that they're a part of this process. Because I saw that with the building of Avaya Stadium. That's a critical component for everyone's mutual success.
Now, here's the real, let me help you out. Remember the very first day we did a show together? My very first program here at 95.7 The Game, what did I tell you my goal was? My goal was to help the A's find a stadium solution through conversation. That's all I can really add, conversation. Well, this is the conversation that now they want to hear. I am telling you, and I am inviting formally, informally, professionally, casually, in every single way, send a telegram, use a Skywriter, send a smoke signal to David Cavill and let him know that he is welcome to come in here and use this show as a crowdsourcing forum. We will give him a full 4-hour-long show to come in here, and there will be more ideas run past him in 4 hours than he could have during, what, an entire month of office hours for people to come on in and drop off ideas for a new stadium. David, the show is yours. How can I help? How can I use this program to help you get all the great ideas you could possibly want for your stadium? Let me tell you what you need to do right now. Number one, you make it green. Make it green, baby. Green everywhere. Green seats, green walls, green, 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 green. Not lime green, rich A's green. Give me some legit power alleys and one bang bang line. Give me one short porch somewhere there, and then make the rest of the park play for real. Give me a little razzle-dazzle somewhere down that line. Make it short. And then make it cavernous. Make it small. 30,000. 32,000 tops. Tiny. Boutique stadium. He's talking about a big bar that goes from foul pole to foul pole. Do it. Do it. But I'll save you a little bit of money on that bar. Don't go foul pole to foul pole concourse. Do it in the outfield. Make the entire bar the outfield bleachers. The entire outfield bleachers is a bar. The whole thing. That would be awesome. Maybe have a couple of the cranes that are part of the Oakland skyline be the things that hold your scoreboard. incorporate a little of that industrial look of Oakland into the stadium. Embrace it. Embrace the grit of downtown Oakland. But do it beautifully. Give me some exposed brick. Give me some concrete. Give me some A's green and gold everywhere I can look. I want that little A on the side of each and every chair and seat. I want that A on beer tap handles. You've got one of the greatest traditions in baseball. Get back to it. Honor your Hall of Famers. Honor your legacy. There are so many good ideas. I mean, I could put it out to you at 888-957-9570, and we could come up with a great list of good ideas before the end of this hour, and we'll take some. But this is really, I hope, a great day, a great, great day for A's fans and a future that is so long overdue. And look, you know, John Fisher, who knows what he does here? I mean, that's the thing. What's really changed? We're about to find out whether or not Lou Wolf was the roadblock to getting a stadium. That's what's really about to change here. Was Lou waiting so long for perfect that he let very good slip through his fingers over and over again? And will Dave Cavill be the kind of guy who grabs onto the first very good he has, knowing that perfect never really shows up? John Fisher, who is the pocketed money guy, when I say pocketed money guy, I really mean it. Gianna, here's the ticker tape. $2.6 billion, the latest from 2016 Forbes Billionaires list. John Fisher is the 321st richest person in the United States. He is the 606th richest person in the world.
Wow.
In the world. Top 1,000 rich guys in the world. Top 600, 606. In America, 321. You know where that puts him among Major League Baseball owner wealth? At the top!
Yeah.
At the top! He could have whatever he wants, and he could have had whatever he wanted for decades now. But now he is going to take an active role, so we'll see what he does. Speaking of A's, former A's, I feel like we need to cue up a little Wham here. We got to play a little sax solo for this breaking news. Apparently, Josh Reddick and the Houston Astros have agreed to a four-year, $52 million deal the club has not confirmed. But we like Josh Reddick, and I hope that money is real. No state income tax. $52 million goes a long way in Texas. By the way, Mike Trout has been named the American League MVP.
More baseball. Second time, right?
Is that his second MVP? Is that where it is already?
So.
If it is, congratulations to him. By the way, I told you this was going to come in more handy than you ever thought it would.
Name that fish!
Mike Trout, American League MVP. So let's take a couple of quick calls here on the stadium because we're going to talk to David Carr, who, as you all know, is Clive Walford's brother. Eric in Berkeley, how are you? What's going on?
Hey, Damon, I'm doing great. So my thing is I live close to the Cal Stadium, and I don't know if you've been over there since they've redone it there, but they basically kept the old style of the old building. And just bore it out, rebuild it, put a causeway in, luxury box seats for, you know, the higher ends. So it's totally doable. And that one's hard because it's built behind everything. It's not even easy access to it.
Right. Well, I mean, there was that's a historical landmark that they kind of had to preserve along with upgrading it. And they did a fabulous job. I think that Cal did an amazing job refurbishing their stadium and tacking a modern press box onto a stadium that is decidedly by its design not modern. And it's perfect. It's the ultimate kiss between where we're going and where we've been. Congratulations to Cal. Your stadium is awesome. You don't do that with the Coliseum. There is nothing, there's no historical artifact or historical piece of anything at the Coliseum to save. You tear that sucker down to the ground and you build right back up, football stadium only. And I don't mean modern football stadium. You do not want anything that looks like Levi Stadium. You don't want anything that looks like what they're going to be building in L.A. or Atlanta. You don't want any of that. I would build a stadium that reminded you of Lambeau Field. Make it the simplest, most football-y stadium that you can think of. Hey, what do you do here? We play football here. What else do you do here? What do you mean, what else do you do here? You play football here. Shut up. That's what the Raiders need, a football stadium. And the Oakland A's, do it. 30,000, right on the dot, if you will. 30,000 every night. Tonight's attendance?
30,000.
Right on the dot. Make it the most boutique-y, prettiest, jewel-iest, sparkliest, bedazzliest, yet still being honest to Oakland's grime and grit and blue-collar nature. There's so much potential. There's so much potential. And I truly, truly hope that this is a sign of good things to come quickly with an announcement from the A's that follows quickly, which opens up the door to the Raiders and Oakland finding a solution that could actually work. Put your hands together and say a little prayer if you root for teams in the nickel dime. Today seems and feels like a little bit of hope. We will be taking your calls, I can promise you. But coming up next, David Carr, who, as you all know, is Bill Musgrave's brother-in-law. Rodney Hudson's dad. No, wait, what is he? Oh, yeah, he's the quarterback's brother, and he used to play the position himself. He works for NFL Network. We're going to talk to him next on 95.7 The Game.
Monday Night Football is headed to Mexico City.
Carr in the gun. Carr throws. Catch Seth Roberts. Breaks the tackle. He's down. Touchdown.
We have talent, and we're going to grow, and we're going to get better, and that's what's taking place. The guys are growing, they're getting better, we're competing every down, there's never been a question of effort, and we'll continue to get better as we go through the season.
Simeon throws down the middle, it's intercepted by Reggie Nelson, the game is over, the Raiders will kneel down three times, and they will go to 7-2 on the year. The Silver and Black are back.
Certainly does feel that way. It certainly looks that way, whether you're looking at the field, whether you're looking at Vegas odds, whether you're watching SportsCenter. Raiders aren't sneaking past anybody except for border security as they head down to Mexico, take on the Houston Texans, and to talk about it from NFL Network, David Carr, who is, of course, very familiar with the Oakland Raiders. He's the number one overall pick of the 2002 NFL draft, and as you all know, is the brother of Amari Cooper of the Oakland Raiders. How about that? It's amazing. What's going on, David?
Right.
Damon Bruce, it's a pleasure to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks.
Thank you very much for joining us, man. When is the last time you gave your little brother a noogie?
A noogie, or like panting him in front of his entire junior high graduating class and then kind of throwing his pants in the pool.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, was he wearing tidy whities or did you go on these too?
Yeah, of course. No, I knew he had his little, you know, his little fancy Nike compression shorts on, but it was still kind of funny.
Does he wear extra medium underwear?
Medium underwear, yeah, he did at that time, no doubt. He's a little, he was chubby fat though. He's kind of skinny fat back then. So he's done better.
Well, we're off to a great start here. First of all, look, it's great to have you on. Thanks very much for doing this. Watching your brother play at this high level in the all-important year three for a quarterback has been a real treat just for our novice eyes, for the experienced eye that comes with being a former quarterback in this league, the former number one overall pick. And you know, on top of that, you're the guy's brother. This must be one of the coolest things for you to go through besides your own career.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's kind of a mixture of both, you know. I mean, because you guys, you know, explain how most people see it, but then getting to see it from actually the quarterback position too is just, it's a blast, man. I mean, because you obviously from a quarterback position, you you know, you respect what he's doing, and you just, I find myself honestly just like, man, that's a great play. I don't think I taught you that. You know, you kind of did that on your own. I mean, and then on the other side of it, you're a fan, you're cheering for him, and then he's your brother. So you couldn't be happier. I mean, couldn't happen to a better guy. I know that for sure. I mean, the guy's absolutely solid. As good as he is on the field, he's even better off. So, I mean, there's what you see in the post-game press conferences, what you see between his teammates. I mean, I'm with Donald Penn the other day. He was doing something for our network. And he's like, your brother tells me he loves me, like, every day. And he, like, genuinely means it. And that's just him, dude. And it's a lot of fun to see it happen just in general and see a team playing that high and seeing the Raiders back. But it's a totally different ball game when you know how good of a guy he is, then he happens to be your little brother. So it's pretty cool.
Well, I got to tell you, I've got a really good BS detector. And everything your brother says comes with an undeniable scoop of sincerity with it. I mean, he really does seem to walk the walk and talk the talk. Family first. He's incredibly a religious guy. He is a heck of a teammate. What's the biggest difference him now halfway through year three as opposed to his rookie year? Either a trait that you see on the field or off the field, a habit. What have you noticed?
You know, I think that he always had kind of these traits, but I can't stress enough when I talk to people about young quarterbacks and how it was to play quarterback. Any young guy, you just don't know. There's that experience level that you just don't have. And, you know, you can go out and we can go out in the backyard and play catch and we all look great. But until you get in there and you got, you know, Rex Ryan throwing whatever he wants at you, then you go the next week and you're getting different looks. And until you go through all that, you just don't have that confidence. That, okay, I got to understand now when I get this pressure, I can actually take advantage of it. And that's why you see quarterbacks as they go, they don't get pressured as much. If you look at Derek's numbers this year, as opposed to his rookie year when he was getting rushed, I mean, the numbers are drastically flipped on their head. And you see that now. No one comes after Tom Brady anymore. And they're very careful when they come after Drew Brees or just different quarterbacks and Aaron Rodgers. People just tend to play coverage and, all right, but hopefully he makes a mistake. That's kind of where he's getting. And he always had that trait, but he's understanding it now. And it's the first time it happens, when you make a big play against the blitz, you go, oh, I want them to come now. And that's kind of the thing that has to click. And then hopefully your team's good enough to pick it up, you know, and his offensive line has been, I mean, just absolutely tremendous. And he's got the playmakers outside, so you kind of see the result.
When you look at his offensive line, can you help but be a little bit envious and think, but for I, you know?
but for anybody. I mean, I think you look around the league and everyone – you kind of look at them in Dallas and say, man, I mean, that's why they're playing well. I mean, Dak's a rookie, and Zeke, and he's able to go out there and do what he's doing. And I would argue that the Raiders are just as good, and they can go out and you saw what they did with Denver, you know, last week. They decided, you know what, we're going to run for 200, we're going to throw for 200, we're just going to pound it. You know, it's very rare that you get that in a football team. And honestly, when Derek first started playing, that's all I watched. I watched him, but I was watching the O-line. I want to see, are they? When I talked to Reggie McKenzie and Jack says, we're going to put a good offensive line in front of your brother. All right, we'll see. We'll find out. I was the biggest skeptic because they were not very good in Oakland for a long time. I mean, as many games we lost, we beat the Raiders pretty good when I was with Houston. You know, so it's one of those deals where I want to see it first, and they did. They did a tremendous job, and they built that thing from the inside out. They got a great offensive line coach. They keep adding pieces. Rodney Hudson, you know, I mean, they had kids in Baltimore last year. I mean, they hit on Donald Penn. I mean, they just got a tremendous group up there. So he's reaping the rewards, and I couldn't be happier for him.
Yeah, you had the last piece of pie that Tony Boselli was able to serve, and that was about it in front of you, man. I mean, that
– you know, it's crazy, man. Yeah, Tony was – it was hard because I'd go over to his house for dinner, you know, out in Houston, and we were trying to become boys, and I remember going out and watching him in OTAs, and he's just trying to put shoulder pads on, and they're trying to rig him up with this brace, and I'm thinking, man, hopefully this guy can go because he looks the part and I know he's a good player. And then he was just never able to get out there. And we were behind the eight ball the whole time after that. And then Charlie Casley, me and him were talking the other day. And he was like, you know what, dude, if I would have known that we couldn't have put that group in front of you, I wouldn't have drafted you. You know, and so it's just one of those deals. It's the perfect storm. You got to have all these pieces come together, you know, to honestly just be able to develop a quarterback, let alone go out there and win.
Talking with David Carr, who you can see tonight on NFL Network as an analyst. By the way, good-looking guy, doing a really good job on TV, if you don't mind me saying. NFL Total Access tonight after Saints and Panthers, a little Thursday night football. You seem very candid. I'd love to ask you about your career because I think situations make players as much as talent and work ethic ever will. You know, Tom Brady gets drafted by the Browns. He's not Tom Brady today. Had you been taken third overall, Joey Harrington was the second quarterback taken. If you'd been taken third overall and going to the Lions, who are no great shakes, how much different would things have been? Because it wouldn't have been an expansion team. You wouldn't have been sacked 76 times your rookie year, only to see that number lowered to 68 sacks your third year. I mean, dude, you took a pounding like I've never seen a guy take right into the league. And it, how admirable that you always got up and asked for more. I mean, I thought you were a total stud. And how about this? You played 12 seasons. And the only other quarterback we can find from your year, 2002, who's still in the league, is Sean Hill, who was undrafted.
Yeah, you know what, man? I mean, it's it was difficult. I mean, I'd be lying to you if I said, "Oh no, I'm totally fine with what happened there. It was great." No, I mean, it was tough. It's very difficult. It makes you challenge, you know, what you do on the field. Am I good enough to do this? I think that I am. You know, I got here, got to this position. You know, and you kind of question, then you look at where Ben Roethlisberger got drafted, you know, a couple of years later, and you're like, wow, that would have been nice. Or where Aaron Rodgers got drafted, you know, kind of right in the middle of the first round. You know, I remember joking with Derek, you know, not to take it off me, but, I mean, I remember right there before the draft, I'm like, all right, man, you know what? I mean, everyone's like, oh, we wanted to go high. I'm like, I want you to go to the middle, late half of the first round. And then sure enough, who cares what I think? He goes, you know, in the second round, third pick or whatever he did. But just one of those deals, it was difficult, you know, and I wanted nothing more than to be in a situation, you know, honestly, like when I went to New York, and it's not that I wanted to sit here and bash Houston and what was going on there, but it was just such a drastic difference. They came off winning the Super Bowl. Their offensive line was phenomenal. I mean, I joke with people all the time, and I even joke with Eli still. I'm like, the game's easy. When I went in and played with the Giants, it wasn't hard. It was go to my reads, you know, get the guys set up in the protections, and then just go play football. It wasn't, okay, all right, I got sacked here, and I got the offensive line coach saying I got to get the ball out of my hand, and I got the offensive coordinator telling me I got to hold it longer and let the plays develop. Well, what do I got to do? I'm only 21 years old. I have no idea who I should listen to. So, you know, being in those two different experiences, it could not have been drastically different. And I think that's the one thing that people see. You know, they see the NFL teams, and some teams are really good consistently for a certain reason, and some teams aren't for a certain reason. And, yeah, there's a lot of things that go into that, but – man, it was it would have been nice, yeah, to absolutely see what could happen. But I'm happy that I was able to at least see my little brother get put in a good situation, and we're enjoying it as a family right now.
How often? Let's talk about passing the baton. Do you find yourself passing the baton back to your brother more often than you find him grabbing it from you? Who engages the other with a little advice? Does he come to you with advice, or do you just go to him with advice in a phone call?
You know what? When he was in college and even his first year, I'd say probably his first year, even his first off season, we spent a lot of time looking at film and breaking stuff down. But as you kind of develop and you kind of see most of the coordinators, you see, you know, what's going on. You've played all these guys before. They might just be wearing different shirts or on different teams. He kind of has it down. He's got it now. We talk every week, usually on Monday after the games, but you know, and sometimes we drag him onto the show and we do different stuff, obviously, as a family. But I try to talk to him at least once a week. And a lot of times it's not about football. It's about other things. So we talk about stuff that we talked about as brothers. You know, family. He's got two boys he's trying to raise. He's got a family of his own. We talk about, you know, stuff. Not that football doesn't matter, but when we're chatting, we don't get a lot of time, especially during the season. He comes out and stays with me, you know, a couple times during the off season back home in Bakersfield. And we have a great time then. But we talk about life more than anything else. The football stuff is kind of, he doesn't need me for that as much anymore. We'll talk about cool plays that only me and him see. That's the fun part, is when we're sitting on the couch after the games, he'll come back after, you know, we'll kind of chill there, all the family's over, and we're talking about stuff, and my parents and my friends and family looking at us like, what are you guys talking about? Is this even English? You know, and what we're talking about, you know, the X's and O's, and just the fun stuff, and those are the cool times for me. I love that stuff.
It sounds great, man. I wish you could be a fly on the wall for those conversations. What has he revealed to you about this year in terms of targeting? Like, where is he most comfortable? Going to Cooper, going to Crabtree? He just has two of the best targets out there. I mean, Latavius has taken so much pressure off him by emerging as a consistent week-in, week-out running back. What does he tell you about his teammates?
Well, he loves Latavius. He loves the offensive line guys. You know, the one guy that, you know, I was kind of high on, even. I just played with him the one year when I was in San Francisco, really briefly, but I love Michael Crabtree. I loved his, you know, a lot of people gave him a hard time when he left there, but when he went to Oakland, I was like, Derek, you're going to love the guy. You get him the football, you guys get on the same page, you're going to love him, and he couldn't be happier for him. And you even notice, like, think about back in New Orleans when they went for two. Who do you throw it to? He threw it to Crabtree. You know, in those situations when he's going down, and Amari's going to get to that point. I mean, Amari is, his ceiling is, I mean, I don't even know if we can see it, you know, where his ceiling is. And he's one of those guys that's going to be there for the long haul, and he's developing into what Michael Crabtree is with experience. But Crab just has an amazing knack for the game, and Derek absolutely loves that guy. So, I mean, if it's crunch time and he's looking for someone, you can bet Crabtree's he's up there. If he's not number one, he's 1A.
Well, there's probably no family in America that can claim to have as many fingerprints all over the matchup that is Texans and Raiders that will happen on Monday night in Mexico City. It's really something else. Any predictions? How do you think this goes? I mean, I heard that John Gruden, I think, said essentially just the offensive line versus defensive line is worth the price of admission. If you want to take a week off from watching the quarterbacks and the receivers, like, this is the week to do that. This is going to be a trench war.
Yeah, no, it really is. And that's kind of what, you know, I talked with Derek about it the other day, and he was breaking some film down, and we were just chatting about what they're doing over there. And, you know, they have a package that they love, but they really rely on those guys up front to make it happen. They're good against the pass, and a lot of it is because of that pass rush they can get and the group that's up there. So, you know, their offensive line, that's what's so nice is you go into, you know, what could be a hostile environment. You don't really know when you play one of those neutral site games. It could be either way. It's going to be loud. It's basically a road game for both teams for the most part. And when you go into those situations, you got to be able to rely on your guys up front. And I think that, you know, fortunately, you know, you can sleep a lot better, you know, if you're Derek, if you're our family and just a fan of the Raiders, knowing that they got a pretty good group up there that's going to take care of them. So as long as they have all that stuff, you know, handled before the snap and you can go up with a clean look and you know what you're doing, they should be in good shape. But it's going to be a battle. It's not going to be a shootout out there. It's going to be a physical battle. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Since this is happening in Mexico City, let's ask you this. You a taco or burrito guy?
Tacos, man. I love tacos.
Street
Taco Tuesday. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Street tacos. I mean, you give them to me off the truck. I don't care where they come from. I'll eat tacos all day.
Very nice. Good tacos down in Houston, too, right? At least they fed you well.
There are. Yeah, absolutely. No, that's one thing they do have. They got a lot of nacho cheese or queso, as they like to call it, so you can gain some weight really quick, but they got some good food in Houston for sure.
Real quick, what do you think of Fresno State's hiring of Jeff Tedford, man? That guy can help a quarterback out.
I love Jeff, man. He was the first coach that I worked out with, you know, at Stockdale High School over here in Bakersfield, and he was the guy I signed with. I mean, he came out, worked out with me for about an hour. We threw balls around. He's as cool off the field as he is on the field. He's one of the smartest guys as far as his passing concepts, and he's seen it all. He's been around. He's been up in Vancouver. He's been all over the place. He's got to get 12 guys open. He knows what he wants to do, and he's a Valley guy. And so that's what's going to be cool is he's going to recruit the Central Valley. That's what they got to get back to if they want to fill that thing up and bring him back. Just get some local kids in there and let some of us go watch him. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
I tell you what, David, it was a real pleasure to talk to you, man. I enjoyed your career. I think that your fingerprints are all over your brother and being a legacy, having learned through the gauntlet that he watched his older brother go through, I think has greatly accelerated his career, and he owes more to you than you would ever care to take credit for or he would ever care to admit. What do you think of that?
I appreciate it, man. That means a lot. I mean, we pride ourselves on being a pretty tight family, and we always have each other's back. So, yeah, hopefully something that I went through and some junk that we had to deal with, hopefully kind of made his path a little bit easier, then it's all worth it. So all good for me.
We'll see you on NFL Network. David, thanks very much.
All right, brother. Thanks.
David Carr here on 95.7 The Game. Great stuff from him, man. Really, really good stuff. And that guy sacked 76 times his rookie year. That is still the single season you got sacked record. By season three, that number was still at 68 sacks. That is good for the third most single season. So this guy got sacked the most and third most in a single season history within his first 3 years in the career, and he still had a 12-year-long NFL career.
Oh, good for him. That's a rough start, though.
If you or I got sacked once,
yeah,
much less an NFL single-season record 76 times behind an expansion team offensive line, we'd still be on life support. Man, David Carr was good. What do you think? We'll hear from you next, 888-957-9570. A lot of love for that David Carr interview on Twitter, on the text line. Thanks very much. This is Greg in San Jose. Greg, what'd you think of David?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, man.
Awesome. Yeah, it was a great interview. I mean, because I graduated from Fresno State back in 2012, and you know, I had just barely missed Derek Carr when he was, you know, coming up with Fresno State. And, you know, I think just kind of seeing, like, the excellence just that school has put out with, you know, world-class athletes. I mean, you guys, even, like, Lorenzo Neal just coming out of there. So, you know, Fresno State does represent pretty well when it comes to the NFL. But I know, unfortunately, you know, David Carr coming out from an expansion team, having to deal with kind of that front line, I just felt sorry for the guy like that.
He was in a situation that Brett Favre would have hardly survived. You know, I mean, he was in a situation that no quarterback was ready to go succeed in. And it was a expansion everything. You know, the first day in their new stadium was the first day anybody walked into it. I mean, it's tough to come into a league that and play for a franchise that is, by definition, cultureless because it's brand new. It just got here. So he was in a bad situation. And, man, he put his best foot into it. He really did. A guy had a 12-year-long NFL career. You know what that means? It means he could play. You have talent if you last in this league for 12 years at any position. And here's a guy that you can tell. Like, Gianna, I'm in love with the Carr family.
I think we all are.
I haven't talked to a Carr that I don't like. Like, what do I have to do to put my sister into one of these cars today? Like, seriously, I would love it if a Carr would marry my sister. I mean, they seem like such genuinely good guys. Their dad, their mom, what a job Mama and Papa Carr did raising these boys. Like, really, I mean, just gentlemen when it's time to be. Real, real big boy competitors when it's time to be. Charitable when it's time to be.
It's great. They have like the perfect balance.
Protective and guarding of their own when it's time to be. I mean, I'm impressed, man.
We can add handsome.
You can add handsome. Not only is David a very handsome guy, Derek, I swear to God, he's wearing eyeliner, a.k.a. guyliner. He's got some sexy eyes. I could get lost in those eyes of his. What are you doing? Oh, just swimming in these pools.
Good family for sure.
I'm impressed, man. I really am.
By the way, we should get it out. Chris Bryant wins the MVP for the National League.
Chris Bryant. Drop the H. No C necessary. K-R-I-S. Bryant. Go, Cubs, go. Absolutely. Do you realize that through two seasons, his 13.6, thank you. 13.6 career WAR through two seasons. What's that mean? It means he's off to the best start of any career in the history of Major League Baseball. That's what that means.
Impressive.
He has the best WAR through two full career seasons of anyone who's ever played. So Chris Bryant, National League MVP. You've got Mike Trout, American League MVP. And if you're Justin Verlander, Kate Upton is ready to bang the doors off of anyone who didn't vote for you for Cy Young. By the way, Miss Upton.
Stand by your man.
That is one of the all-time sports lady tweets of all time. I mean, it really is. I was blown away by that. And I thought to myself, hey, I didn't receive any Cy Young votes, which really should make me eligible. No? Damn it. I got married just at the wrong time.
Sorry.
Steve Kerr, head coach of your Golden State Warriors, fresh off the win in Toronto, joins me next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.